Going Linux, episode 208, review of Sabian 11 and OpenSUSE 12.3. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
In this episode, Bill provides a review of Sabian 11 and OpenSUSE 12.3. So, Bill, this you've actually already recorded this episode, and I've listened to it. You did a fantastic job of the technical side of it. You did all the recording and the noise reduction and the editing and all that stuff yourself. Great job.
Oh, thanks, Larry. It's not as easy as I thought it would be. Man, you work kind of hard, huh? And in all truthfulness, it's I'm still learning as we as I go along. But I finally got an appreciation of how much time you put in. Wow.
Yeah, and you know, the editing has a little style to it, audio editing, and so our listeners may or may not notice a difference in that style. If you don't, that's great. If you do, it's because a different person did the editing. And I think that, it's just a matter of style. It's not better or worse. It's just a different way of doing it. And to me, as a podcast editor, it's noticeable to our audience. Maybe it's not. But if it is to you, that we just wanted to spend a couple of minutes and explain what was going on.
Yeah, and be nice.
Be nice, yes.
Be nice, please.
So, how was it doing the recording on your own? That was a bit of a different experience for you as well, huh?
Yeah, it was a little bit different. I'm used to us talking together, and so I didn't realize how many times I go, make sounds and stuff. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of work. Take all those out.
And now you know not to do them so that we don't have to take them out, right?
yes. I finally realized that, but I'm sitting there going, I say a lot. And see, I'm even still doing it, but it was okay. I enjoyed it, but it kind of makes you think about how you speak when you do, when we're recording a podcast, so it can cut out some of the more annoying stuff. So, yeah, I mean, after so many uhs and e and sounds and heavy breathing and stuff, you're like, wow, that's a lot of work to get all that stuff out. Make it sick. Cause I'm sitting there going, wow, this is taking longer than I thought.
Yeah. Just, for those podcasters out there, just getting into it, you want to allow at least twice as long to edit as it took you to record. At least twice as long. Especially at the beginning, yeah. When you're just getting used to editing. And listening to a podcast, you notice the ums and the ahs, but not nearly as much as you do when you're editing and have to actually take them out.
Yeah. I will say I really started getting into the editing. It was fun once you kind of you either like editing or you don't. As I was doing it, I found out that I quite enjoyed it. I don't know a lot right now. I'm still learning, all the little tricks, but I'm really hoping that as I do it more often that I get better. But I quite enjoyed it. And so if you hear some more episodes that I do, just be nice and realize that I'm not as good as Larry yet.
Oh, you will be. You will be. Hey, did that video episode on advanced editing techniques that we did help you out?
I've watched it twice, and I keep saying, "Oh, okay, I forgot about that." I'm actually gonna download it, and so I can just watch it offline. I got a little program that will let me do that, and that will be kind of helpful because you show a lot of stuff in that video.
Yeah, it's really feature packed.
There's a lot of stuff in Audacity that I've barely touched. And I realize as you get the basics down, then you can do all the fancy whiz-bang stuff.
Sure. Yeah, we've done 3 screencast episodes on Audacity alone, and we're still just touching the surface of what it can do. It's really a very powerful and amazing tool.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's cross-platform, it's free, and I tell you, it does a nice job.
It sure does. Well, shall we get into your handiwork here and play your review?
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey, Larry. I had the opportunity over the past few weeks to try out a few new distributions, and the first one I want to talk about is Savion 11. Savion, as most people know, is based on Gentoo and is a rolling release. They included the current Linux kernel 3.7, GNOME 3.6.2, KDE 4.9.5, and they're planning to push the KDE 4.10 as soon as it's released. It also has XFCE 4.10 and the latest LibreOffice, which I believe is 3.6.3. They've also added the EFI, UEFI support, and UEFI secure boot support. And they also include the latest ATI and NVIDIA drivers. You also can get the desktop with Mate 1.4. They have 14,000 packages. I was impressed with it, but it being Gentoo, I had to learn how they do things, and they've do things a little differently. Once I had gotten it installed, a little shield come up and said that there was updates, and then it opened up the update manager, and reading it, it told you what needed to be updated, and it was pretty painless. Once I got it fully updated, I was able to find all the packages I wanted: GPotter, Audacity, Skype, and Dropbox. Everything was there, and it installed without any hitches. I ran it for about a week, and it's a nice distribution, and their aim is to have everything that works out of the box. And if you're looking for a distribution that you don't have to reinstall, like you have to do on Ubuntu, so you don't have to reinstall. So some people like that. Savion also includes the ability to download the desktop that you want. So if you just want the GNOME version, they have just that. If you want to just get the KDE version, they have that. And these are available in the AMD 64, which is for 64-bit processors. They also have the x86 with the same desktops, available for 32-bit machines, and they can also be installed on 64. The main desktops that they support are GNOME, KDE, Mate, XFCE, and if you don't like any of those, I believe you can go in their repositories and install anything that you really want to put on your machine. You also can start with a very basic, they call it, I think it's Core CDX, and then it lets you build basically from scratch what you want, while giving you something to start with, the base system to get up and running. But you have to really decide what you want to. All in all, I would say Savion 11, if you're looking for something a little different, go ahead and give it a whirl and see what you think of it. It's not quite as user-friendly as Mint and Ubuntu, but it's pretty close in my book. So you really, it is very new user-friendly. You might have a little trouble finding packages if they're not in the repository, and you might have there might be a little bit of a learning curve in case, you know, you need to install something. But as a general rule, everything that I use every day was available in the repositories. So I would say this is a good starter distribution if you want to try something different than Mint or Ubuntu. You really can't go wrong. And the Savion team has a good forums. They are a pretty lively, lighthearted group, and I think you'd enjoy the distribution. So if you give Savion 11 a try, by all means, let us know what you think of it. The next distribution that I tried was OpenSUSE 12.3, the latest and greatest. Now, I first started with the GNOME OpenSUSE. It was, of course, GNOME 3, and I'm not a big fan of GNOME 3, but pretty easily there was a little bit of a learning curve because I had UEFI enabled, and there's a little checkbox that you need to click in the installer to tell it to make this UEFI a partition that enables the system to boot and to run. Other than that, it was pretty much straightforward. You can tell it that you want it supports the new Butter file system plus XFS, EXT3 and EXT4, and I believe it also supports Riser and a few others that I can't remember off the top of my head that are not as commonly used. Once I had told it that I wanted to create a swap partition, and then I just told it to throw everything into one partition. I didn't opt for a separate home partition because I wasn't going to keep it more than a week. Now, if I was going to run this nonstop, I would probably have went ahead and created a separate home partition. But after making the choices and filling in the username and password, it installed without a hitch, and soon I was rebooting from the live CD to the actual install on my machine. And the first thing I noticed about the OpenSUSE install is that it booted super fast. It was the fastest booting Linux that I've ever seen. Faster than my old Ubuntu and faster than Mint, but starts with a black background and slowly fades in, or in this case really fast, comes into a green, and it has looks like a vine. But it was very fast, and before I could, you know, get a cup of coffee and get back, it had already come up and was ready to start working. I'm not a big fan of Yum and its package management as it's implemented, but that's just because I'm used to how Ubuntu does it. So, you know, it's just a different learning curve. It worked fine. Adding software was just smooth, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, I was able to find almost everything I wanted. OpenSUSE also has the build service, which allows people to build packages for OpenSUSE and for other distributions. The few things that I've noticed is, and I know it's just because I didn't keep it around, and you know, I don't use OpenSUSE a lot. I couldn't find WinFF or GPotter, and I always have problems with GPotter finding it. I know it's there, I just can't remember how or where it is. As a new user distribution, I would say that it's almost as easy to use as Ubuntu. And if you are new and you wanted to find a distribution, you should actually give OpenSUSE a try. After playing with the GNOME version for a while, I downloaded and installed the KDE version of OpenSUSE. The install was almost identical.
with just a different, color screens or things that just slightly different, but I mean, they're almost identical. And I was able to get it installed in record time because I already been through it with the GNOME version. They do a great job. It's probably one of the finest installs in OpenSUSE, I believe 11.3. I always felt that the package manager was a little slow, but they seem to have done some back end work, and it's very, very fast. So give OpenSUSE a try. I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised. They're now back on track, from what I understand, and be releasing a version of OpenSUSE every 8 months, because they're on an 8th month release cycle.
Our next episode is Computer America. Until then, you can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations.
And remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover on the show, use the forums to leave your topic suggestion in a thread labeled Topic Suggestions. The forums are at forum.goinglinux.com.
If you want to support our efforts, click the Donate button while you're there on our website. You can also send us an audio comment by email. We'll play it on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com, and our voicemail line, if you'd rather phone in, is +1 904 468 7889.
You can follow our show updates on Twitter, tweet us at @goinglinux, or join our Google Plus community. Look for Going Linux Podcast.
You can download the episodes from our website, or you can play them right from the show notes page. Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.